What's up, sunshine, and rise up. I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to another episode of CNN 10, where I simply tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Let's make it a great day, shall we? And get smarter. Let's go. We begin today with some international landmarks we might need to add to our travel bucket lists. 26 new sites have been added to UNESCO's List of World Heritage Sites, a catalog of more than 1,000 places of outstanding value to all mankind. These important landmarks range from ancient archaeological sites to buildings to national parks that are rich in cultural significance, history, or simply natural beauty. Places like the Pyramids of Giza in Egypt, the Great Wall of China, the Taj Mahal in India, or the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Tennessee. The folks in charge of this list are the World Heritage Committee, and every year they consider new sites to be nominated by host countries to inscribe or add as a UNESCO heritage site. Once on the list, a site is then marked as a protected zone, and conservation efforts are made to shield sites from over-tourism, climate change, and other factors that could cause damage. This year, West African nation Sierra Leone received its first acknowledgement, the Gola Tiwi Complex. The biodiversity hotspot includes a rainforest national park and an island wildlife sanctuary that's home to many species of elephants and hippopotami. Also joining the list this year are the four grand palaces of King Ludwig II, built in Germany's Bavarian region in the 1800s, including the Disney-like Neuschwanstein Castle. In the United Arab Emirates, a desert archaeological site that holds evidence of human activity from more than 200,000 years ago. And in Greece, a palace complex that served as a hub of daily activity for the Minoan civilization thousands of years ago. The palace contains examples of early writing, architecture, and art, and is being called a treasure trove of prehistoric Mediterranean culture. Pop quiz, hot shot. What is the first city in the world to record a population of 1 million people? London, New York, Rome, or New Delhi? When in Rome, the first census was conducted in the 2nd century BC. Historians believe a mass of 1 million people amassed in Rome from 3 different continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. The next city in Europe to have a population this size was Victorian London. A surprising archaeological discovery in northern Britain is raising big questions. At Magna Fort, archaeologists recently unearthed dozens of Roman shoes, some larger than expected. The largest was about 32.6 centimeters, approximately a men's size 14. Odd, because the average Roman foot size was around a size 8. Hadrian's Wall, built 2,000 years ago, once marked the edge of the Roman Empire. Forts like Magna housed Roman soldiers sent to patrol the frontier. Roman footwear has been discovered at similar sites before, but researchers say the size and condition of these shoes make the find remarkable.
Here at Magna, out of these 26, we already have 4 or 5, if not more. I've got to actually look at them all. They're just coming out. They're still covered in mud. But I'm already seeing that they're very, very large, and there's many more of them of that size. So there is a slight character difference. And there might be some features on them. For instance, something like this shoe right here. Very, very nice man sandal from the late 3rd century. It's quite a late shoe. And it has this kind of very large toe tread area.
So who wore them? Experts believe these giant shoes may have belonged to soldiers from regions where people tended to be taller, possibly the eastern parts of the empire. The wear patterns and craftsmanship suggest they were built for real use, not ceremonial display. The shoes were preserved thanks to low oxygen soil conditions in the area just south of the Scottish border. Some shoes are made for walking, some for hiking. And with more people trekking outdoors during hiking season, experts are reminding us about a small but serious seasonal risk, ticks. Those tiny spider-like creatures that live in grassy, wooded areas, exactly where many people hike and camp. These small insects can carry diseases like Lyme disease, which can cause fever, fatigue, and joint pain. Here are some ways you can protect yourself.
Right now is the time to be vigilant.
Ticks, the bane of outdoor enthusiasts nationwide.
We have new numbers that show up to 31 million people in the United States are bitten by them each year.
And it's not only the creepy factor. These tiny parasites can cause some big time illnesses.
The Lyme disease is one most people have heard of, but depending on where you live, it might be ehrlichiosis, Wasson virus disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And all of these things can be very serious.
Different ticks transmit different germs.
Those different ticks in different parts of the country at different times of year all determine your risk of getting an infection. And that's why Dr. Thomas Mather and his tick encounter team at the University of Rhode Island offer tick spotters, where you can submit a picture of the tick to get expert guidance.
They send a clear picture of the top side of a tick. I can tell them within 24 hours what kind of tick it is, what the likely risk is.
Experts say next time you go on a hike or just to play in the yard, take precautions and always do a tick check when you come inside. And if you do get bit,
you know, get the tick off as soon as possible. And you, if in a few days to weeks that you're feeling sick, it's important to remember that tick bite and go to the healthcare provider and talk about it.
Over the summer, I had the opportunity to explore some of America's best places to visit on a CNN 10 field trip, if you will. I even got to meet some of you along the way, like in Bend, Oregon, the perfect little pocket to explore on just about any sort of outdoor adventure you can think of. Check it out.
There's almost like this pressure to go outside and keep doing things. It's like we've got snow going on up in the mountains, but it's beautiful down here, so it's hard to go to work. You're like, I gotta go on a bike ride, or the mountains got good corn snow, I've gotta go skiing.
In Oregon's high desert, between the Cascade Mountain Range and Deschutes National Forest, is Bend, a picturesque outdoor lover's paradise where adventure always seems to be just around the bend.
So for someone who's never been to Bend, Oregon, what can they expect when they come here?
It's a great place to try a bunch of different sports. It's not just for your most extreme kind of human. It's easy to go from like riding your bike in the city to getting on a trail for the first time without feeling like it's a death-defying feat.
Oh, this is awesome.
Woo! Now, if biking on the more than 600 miles of trails around Bend isn't your thing, just up the road is Mount Bachelor, one of the largest ski resorts in the country. This was just my second time skiing, so I was nervous, but it was awesome. From here, you can zip up north where it's 70 and sunny at Smith Rock, the birthplace of American sport climbing.
Let's go.
Now, this is harder than it looks, but don't worry. There are plenty of beginner climbs among the nearly 2,000 routes in the park.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Finding the best place to put my Tetris pieces.
Grip by grip, sometimes just a fingertip, this adventure forced me into the moment with some spectacular panoramas.
Feel like I'm on top of the world! Let's go!
Back in town, right through the middle of it, is the Deschutes River.
Bend, Oregon has water you can fish, kayak, canoe, and surf. What? Look at this. Unbelievable.
Okay, listen up. New segment alert. CNN 10 student field trip, where we are featuring you, our favorite teachers and students. If you're headed somewhere interesting or have some fun facts or landmarks from your hometown or school that are newsworthy, flip that cell phone camera on. Give us a report. It could be 30 seconds, up to about 90 seconds if you like. Send your video to CNN10@CNN.com. If you're a student, include parents' permission, of course. Also, put your name, age, school, city, and state, and we just might be featuring you on the show. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is all about a homegrown hero. Meet 96-year-old veteran named Bill Brown, who proves you don't need a cape to save the day, maybe just a humble green thumb. Founder of the Children's Table Food Bank, Bill spent decades growing fruits and vegetables in his own backyard and giving them to families in need. Every week, thousands of people benefit from his work. At almost 100 years old, he's still planting and harvesting and delivering food. Bill says, I'm privileged when I can help someone. And his story reminds us generosity starts with just one small seed, and we reap what we sow. All right, everyone, that's about all we have time for. It is shout-out time, though. The positive education program at Willow Creek School in Grafton, Ohio, made me an honorary firefly. This is so special. And this is going on our new CNN 10 Wall of Friends. Thank you very much. Let's go out and make it an awesome day, everyone. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.